He's good, isn't he? He's been good to you. He's been good to me. While they're coming, I want to give a shout out to our inmates. Our church loves our inmates. And this afternoon, Fred's going to be able to take this whole worship service and my message, and he's going to play it to them tonight at the prison. Hallelujah. So y'all give the inmates a big old shout out for them. We love our inmates at Lincoln Prison, and we just they ask me all the time how some of you are doing. You've meant so much to them, and so we just want to give them a shout out today, and I know they're going to feel that worship. They love our worship team. When our worship team goes out there, that place is packed, and they turn up the doors. They wanted to jam all the way up to Bojangles. They want everybody at Bojangles to hear it, so we love our guys. I want you to turn to John chapter 20, and there's four Gospels, you know that, and there's four different stories or four different versions of everything that happened from the resurrection, and that's because we're all different. If four of us are watching something and we see something, most of the time we're going to be pretty much in line with everything, but we have a different twist. You know why? Because God created all of us different. All of us have a different DNA, and we look at things different. Our perception is different, and so these guys told the same story, but some of them give more detail, and some of them didn't give quite as much. The reason that I love preaching out of John is because I love the way that John explains this and the way he talks. But I'm going to put a little bit different twist on it today. The title of my message is, He's Alive, but then I entitled it, My Lord and My God. My Lord and My God. In chapter 19, verse 38 through the end of the chapter, we see that Joseph of Arimathea went to get Jesus' body. He went before Pilate, and he said, look, would you give me his body? And so he took him to his own private garden, his own private tomb. Nobody ever laid there, and he put him to rest there. And they rolled this big stone in front of it. And the Bible says that Mary Magdalene and Mary and some others saw this stone being rolled in front of this tomb. Well, the next morning, two days later, Mary comes in, and you can read this. I normally would read it, but I'm going to tell you because I want to get to my meat of the message. But Mary goes the first thing in the morning before daylight, and she walks out, and when she gets to where the tomb was, she saw that the stone had been rolled away. Now, that's a huge stone. It took several soldiers to roll this thing over there. And so when she saw that it was gone, put yourself in their shoes. What would you be thinking? You walk out there. I'm not going to tell a funny story because this is serious, but I got a funny story I can tell you about a graveyard. And anytime I walk in a graveyard, something funny always happens or scary or something. You know what I'm saying? And so she goes to this graveyard early in the morning. All this stuff had already happened. Jesus has been put to death. And when she goes, she sees this big old stone gone. I can imagine what she was thinking and how she was feeling. And it says when she stooped in, she saw the linen clothes there and the napkin there, but Jesus was gone. So man, she hightails it and she goes and she finds Peter and John. And she says, look, guys, Jesus is gone. His body's gone. He's not in a tomb. And they look at her like she's probably crazy and fell and bumped her head. So what do? They take off running. And this is where I love it. John says that Peter and the other disciple, which Jesus loved, which is John, he wants you to know that Jesus loves him. And then he also says he wants you to know that he can outrun Peter because it says that he outrun Peter to the tomb. So John wants you to know that Jesus loved him and that he can run fast. Hallelujah. So when John gets to the tomb, though, you can see another side of his personality. John gets to the tomb, and the Bible says he stoops over, and he sees the linen clothes, he sees the napkin, and he sees that Jesus is gone. But guess what? He don't go in. He don't go in. He just stands there. Peter, being his bold self, when he gets there, he pushes John out of the way. Now, this is Scott James' version, okay? He pushes John out of the way, and he goes in. He wants to see for himself. And the Bible says that when he looked, the linen clothes where they had wrapped, where Joseph and Nicodemus had wrapped Jesus up, he saw the linen clothes laying there, but he saw the napkin. We had a Jewish pastor come to our church when we was in Tennessee. There's several different stories about this, but this gentleman told it like this. He said that when you saw that napkin. The reason Jesus had the napkin folded and in its place, read your Bible, that's what it says, in its place, is because of this. Jewish tradition was when you went to someone's house and you went to eat with them. If you sat down and you was a guest, and after you got through eating, if you enjoyed your company, and if you were going to come back, you enjoyed your food, you enjoyed your company, if you was going to come back, you would take your napkin and you would fold it neatly and you'd set it in front of your plate, and that would tell the host that I'm coming back. So when Jesus left that napkin sitting there, he's telling them, guys, I'm coming back, but guess what? They still didn't get it. It says that John believed, but through studying, what I believe John believed was that Jesus' body was gone because it wasn't there, but they still didn't know about the resurrection yet. And so Mary stays. Peter and John goes home. Mary stays. Now, can you imagine how she's feeling? I love Mary. I mean, I love Mary. We got some Marys in this church. Mary's persistent. Mary ain't going to take no for an answer. Mary loved Jesus enough to go through whatever she had to go through. And this is what happens. Mary was crying. She was weeping. And she looks back down and she looks in and she sees two angels. There was one angel at Jesus' feet where he used to be. And there was another angel at his head. And when she saw them angels, they looked at her and they said, now, all four versions say a little bit different. But basically they said, woman, why are you crying? Why seek ye the living among the dead? And she looked at him and she said, I'm crying because my Lord is gone. They've taken him. I don't know where he is. And all of a sudden, now one of the commentaries talks about a man named Williams. He wrote a commentary. And it says that he was explaining that when the angels were sitting there, Mary was at the entrance of the tomb. And it's like the angels are talking to Mary. But then all of a sudden, they look up. They ain't paying Mary no attention. They ain't worried about Mary. They're looking at the person behind them. And when you break that down to where it says where Mary turned, it means like, you know how you feel like somebody's looking at you? She turned and she saw this man. She thought it was the gardener. And he looked at her and he said, woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And that was Jesus. She just couldn't tell who it was. And two reasons. One, because his appearance has been changed. And another was because of unbelief. Amen. Sometimes you can't see Jesus, feel Jesus, or hear Jesus because you ain't got no, your belief system ain't right. Well, that'll preach, but I'm not going to preach that. I'll preach that some other time. But she looks at him and she says, they've taken him. I don't know where he's at. And Jesus said, Mary. Mary. He called her name. And then it says, look at your Bible. It says she turned towards him. And when she turned towards him, she knew who he was. And he said, don't touch me yet, because I hadn't been to the Father. So we got this beautiful picture. And one other thing Mary did was when she looked at Jesus, she said, if you've taken him, you tell me where he's at, and I'll go get him by myself. She didn't need no help. She said, I will go get him. I love that part about Mary. She was going to go get him, even if she had to pick him up and carry him herself. She was going to get Jesus. She was persistent. And Jesus came to her. What I wanted to share with you is actually down when Jesus came to the disciples. And I want you to go down to verse 19. And remember, the title of my message is My Lord and My God. And it says this, on the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together. They had locked the doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came in and stood among them. The door was locked and Jesus walked through the wall. Hallelujah. I don't care where you're at. Jesus can get to you. Amen. Amen. He says that then he showed them his hands and he showed them his side. Remember, his hands was pierced and his side. Instead of them breaking his legs, they were supposed to break his legs because they didn't want him to be on the cross during the feast. But when they got to the two thieves, they had to break their legs. But Jesus was already dead, so one of the soldiers stuck a spear up there and stuck it in his side, and the blood and water come out, because scripture said that he wouldn't have a broken bone, but blood and water would come from him. They pierced his side. So Jesus is here, and he shows them his hands, he shows them his side, the place on his side. And it says, then he showed him his hands and his side. The disciples were very happy when they saw the Lord. Other translation says they saw it and still didn't believe. Now, if you hadn't already picked up on it, I'm going to talk to you about believing. Believing. Because I want you to understand something. The devil believes in Jesus. The Word of God says it. And the Bible says, the Word of God says that the devil believes in Jesus and trembles. So just because you believe that there's a God, or you believe that there's a Jesus, or you believe that there's a cross, don't mean you really believe that there's a cross and a Jesus and a God. Okay? There's a difference between a head knowledge and a heart knowledge. And right now, these guys have been walking with Jesus for 3 years, over 3 years. They'd seen Jesus heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, open blind eyes, and do all these things, feed the thousands. And he told them, how many times, you've read the Bible, how many times did he tell them that, hey, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back? But they just could not understand it. Again, Jesus said unto them, may peace be with you, or my peace be with you. He said, the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. Listen to this. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Breathe on me, Lord. It ain't just a one-time shot neither, guys. Because if it's a one-time shot, why would Pentecost have to happen? But we'll preach on that later, too. I got all kind of messages I'm wanting to preach. He says this, if you forgive anyone's sins, then their sins will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. That translation, if you search that out, it means when you preach the gospel, if anybody accepts that gospel, their sins will be forgiven because they accept the gospel and they believe in Jesus. If you preach that gospel and they don't accept it, they don't receive it, they don't truly believe it, then they will not receive it and they'll spend eternity in hell. That's what that means right there. There's a choice to be made. Now, this is where I want to go. Next verse. Thomas was one of the 12 disciples. He was also called Didymus. Listen, they called him Doubting Thomas is what people call him. But if you look up earlier, he was the one that said, let's go with Jesus. I'll die with him. How many of y'all willing to say that? I'll go die with him. You know what I'm saying? So listen, it says that he was with the other disciples when Jesus, wasn't with the other disciples when Jesus came. So they told him, we have seen the Lord. They didn't say we heard from the Lord. They said, we have seen, physically with our eyes, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, first, I must see. I've had so many people say, well, I've tried this Jesus thing, but it just didn't work for me like it does for you. Or I've saw this Jesus thing, I've read this Jesus thing, and I've heard of this Jesus thing, but it just don't trip my switch like it does yours. You know why? Because they hadn't received, they hadn't believed. And Thomas had not, he didn't believe because he hadn't seen it. And he says, unless I first see the nail marks in his hands, I must put my finger where the nail were, and I must put my hand into the side. Only then will I believe. The disciples was in the house. Jesus came in. He showed himself. He talked to them. He said, may peace be with you. Jesus leaves. 7 days later, 8 days some people say, but on the next Sabbath day, Jesus comes back in. They're in the house locked up again, and Jesus comes in. And this time, Thomas is there. And Thomas had just said, unless I see it, unless I feel it, I will not believe. What is it going to take to get you to believe? What is it going to take to get this world to believe? My goodness. You ever wonder sometimes, like you got family members or friends and children, grandchildren, and they've seen you walk this thing out. They've seen God do great things. I bet you there's not a person in this room that hadn't seen God do something great that only God could do. I guarantee there's not a person in here. And if you hadn't, come hang out with me a little bit and we'll show you something. Amen. Because we serve a God that's still working, still moving, still healing, still setting free, still delivering, and still saving. Thomas said, I won't believe. A week later, Jesus comes in. I just told you what happened. And so then it says here, it says, even though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and he stood among them and he said, may peace be with you. And then right off the bat, he said to Thomas, I want y'all to see something about Jesus. Jesus is awesome. Period. Jesus is awesome. Jesus don't come in and say, you sorry sucker. How in the world are you going to sit here and all this stuff I've showed you, all these times I've talked to you, all these miracles you've seen, how are you going to sit here and doubt and say, unless I stick my finger in his hole, unless I stick my hand in his side, I won't believe. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus comes to him and he said, Thomas? He said, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. He says, stop doubting and believe. Guys, listen to me. I know somebody's in here or somebody's watching that just don't quite believe. You're just not quite convinced. I've told you this many times about Cornelius Agrippa. When Paul was speaking to Agrippa and he was sharing his testimony with Agrippa, he was a king. And King Agrippa looked at Paul and he said, after I've heard you speak, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. How many people are in this room or watching that are like, oh man, I come to church, but this Christian thing selling out and surrendering to the Lord and letting him be Lord of my life and him calling the shots, me not calling the shots, and me doing whatever he says to do, I just ain't got that yet. Well, guess what? You're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. You say, you preaching this on Easter? Absolutely. Amen. I'll preach it next week too if he tells me to. I'm telling you, it's because I love you. Just because you say you believe, if your life don't line up with what you say you believe, then you don't believe. You have a head knowledge, but you don't have a heart knowledge. And he wants you to have a heart knowledge because it's the goodness of God that brings you to repentance. Not the beating, the lashing. It's the goodness of God that brings man to repentance. Then Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas was the first person in the New Testament to say that. There was an Old Testament prophecy that said that, but Thomas was the first person in the New Testament to say, my Lord and my God. He got it. he was convinced. And he said this. Then Jesus told him, y'all listen, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed or happy are those who have not seen me, but still have believed. Guess who that is? Look at your neighbor and say, if you saved, that's you right there. That's you. Listen, that's what this day is all about. It's about Jesus dying on the cross, dying for our sins, paying a price that we couldn't pay, saving us when we said, Lord, help me. And then he said, more blessed, happy are those that believe but hadn't seen. I have not physically seen Jesus, like in the physical. Some of you, maybe you've seen him, and that's fine. You know, Paul's seen him, other people seen him. I have not physically seen Jesus, but I can tell you right now, I've felt Jesus. And I have his spirit inside of me. And I believe it was Jesus that touched my daughter when she was a couple months old and had this spot on her lungs. And the doctor said she's going to be in there till Thursday. When Jesus came in the room, this old goofball right here closed my eyes and started crying. And Michelle watched the whole thing. She saw the hand come up and touch Allison. Her oxygen level went up. The next morning, we go home. So I missed my one chance. But it's coming back. Y'all see what I'm saying, man? He's real. He's real. He is real. And he's alive. And you know what? He's coming back. Look at this. I want to go just a little bit further. Jesus performed many other signs in front of the disciples. They are not written in this book. One other place says if all the miracles that Jesus did would have been written in a book, you couldn't even contain it. We see a lot of awesome stuff that Jesus did. He did way more than that. Can you imagine Jesus every single day, probably about every 10, 15 minutes doing a miracle? I bet the disciples are like, man, this dude's a trip, ain't he? He's just like healing people, raising the dead and all this stuff. The Bible says that Paul, they put handkerchiefs on Paul. They said that Peter walked by in the shadow, healed people. You don't think Jesus' shadow healed people? Hallelujah. I don't know what Jesus you serve, and I'm not being disrespectful. I don't know what Jesus you serve, but the Jesus that I believe in, that I serve, was a man's man, and he loves me, and I love him, and he paid a price for me, and he's fighting for me. He's interceding for me right now. He's praying to the Father. The Word of God says that. That's the Jesus I serve, and if that ain't the one you serve, you might need to think about your Jesus and start looking up and studying a little bit, and you'll see that your Jesus is awesome too. I'm about to get wound up here. He said, but these, listen, these things that I've talked to you about, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. If you believe this, if you put your faith, if you put your confidence and your trust and you depend on Jesus, not depending on yourself, that's what that word means. You will have a life because you belong to Him. You ain't going to have life because you're a good person. You ain't going to have life because you're smart. You ain't going to have life because everybody likes you. Because trust me, if you serve Jesus the way you're supposed to, everybody ain't going to like you. Everybody in church ain't going to like you. That's okay. That's for another time too. If the next chapter, go read this because it's really powerful. Jesus come back to Thomas because he doubted. Well, he came to Mary because she was fearful. She was sorrowful. You know, he ministered to her. He came to the disciples because they was locked up and afraid. He came to Thomas because he was doubting. And then he comes to Peter because Peter had fallen. Every time I think about Peter, Peter was my man. I like Peter because Peter was real. Wasn't no faking Peter. He got in trouble. He run his mouth too much. Yeah, I know y'all ain't thinking about nobody. Peter was real. And this is what's awesome. I know it broke his heart. I know, because I've done it. I know it broke his heart when he failed God. When he denied Jesus, I know it broke his heart. Judas handled it a total different way. I know it broke Peter's heart. And so Peter looks at the disciples after all this happened. He says, man, I'm going fishing, which I like to fish too. But the reason he went fishing, because that's all he knew to do. Peter was confused because he picked up a sword. He was willing to die for Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, put the sword down. And then he loved Jesus. And Jesus told him to his face, he said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. And when you have been converted or when you come back, feed my sheep. And Jesus goes out there. They've been fishing that night. They didn't catch anything. Y'all know the story. You've seen it. Jesus tells them to throw it out on the right side. They didn't know it was Jesus, and he caught all these fish, and Peter puts his coat on. He dives in, and he's going to swim in. And Jesus comes to him, and he didn't say, Peter, I told you. Why didn't you listen, Peter? I told you straight up what you was going to do. Why didn't you listen? Why couldn't you get it? See, that's what the devil does to us. When we miss it, the devil comes. That's the devil doing all that. God don't work that way. God don't condemn you. God convicts you and me. I praise God for that. But he didn't come in and he didn't condemn Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my lambs. Then he looks at him again. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. He said, well, take care of my sheep. Then the last time when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? That's agape. Do you agape me? Do you love me more than anything else? Do you love me more than all these other people love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I do, but you know all things. And then he said, feed my sheep. He took a man. They had denied him, rejected him, ran. And he said, upon this rock, upon this man right here, I'm going to build my church. Some of you, man, your standards, your belief in yourself and what God can do in you is way down here. And God's saying, look at Peter. I raised Peter up to be the rock. When Peter died, he got hung upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, if you go there, verse 1. I want you to be convinced that Jesus is who he says he is, and I want you to be convinced so that you can truly believe and be born again, that you can truly get in your spirit that who Jesus is and what he did for you, and he wants you to accept that and believe that. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. He said, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the good news. Who's he talking to? He's talking to us, but he's talking to Christians. He's talking to brothers and sisters. Sometimes you have to remind people of the good news. Even people that's been serving God for a long time that think they got it all together, sometimes you got to remind them of the good news. He said, I want to remind you of the good news I preached to you. He said, you received it and have put your faith in it. Because you believe the good news, you're saved. Because you put faith and confidence and you trusted in it, you're saved. But then listen to what he says. But you must hold firmly to the message I preached to you. If you don't, you have believed it for nothing. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, and he's telling them, look, you got to hold firmly to this. You know why? Because he says later that wolves are going to come in. He said, after I'm gone, wolves are going to come in. And they're everywhere. Wolves in sheep's clothing. He said, wolves are going to come in, and they're going to tear the church up. He said, hold firm to what we preach to you. If you don't, you'll lose it. It was for nothing. What do you believe this morning? Are you holding firm to what you believe? Or have you been shaken? Maybe something didn't go your way. Maybe somebody said something you didn't like. Maybe I did. Maybe I hurt your feelings. Maybe I did something to you. Has your faith been shaken? Are you hearing from God? Have you allowed a little root of bitterness to come up inside of you and spring up and defile many? It's not what God wants for us. He wants us to believe, have faith, and trust in him. Don't put me on a pedestal. You respect me because you respect the word, but if I mess up, if I ain't doing what's right, don't put me on a pedestal and think I can't mess up. And if you don't like that part about me, sorry. I'm transparent, and if you can't handle that, then you might want to go somewhere else because I'm always going to be transparent. I ain't never going to change, and that's just who I am. Peter was the same way. Jesus was the same way. Some of you, bless God, help me, Jesus. Some of you wouldn't even go to church with Jesus. You'd have got mad at his preaching and left. Surely not. Because you believed in the good news, you're saved. But you must hold firmly to the message I preach to you. If you don't, you have believed for nothing. That's sad. He said, what I received, I passed on to you. And it's the most important of all. Here is what it is. Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said he would. That's the good news. Christ died for our sins. He said, Christ died for our sins, just as Scripture said he would. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. And on the third day, just as Scripture said, he would be. He rose from the dead. He appeared, listen to me, he appeared to Peter, then he appeared to the 12 apostles. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. Most of them are still living, but some have died. In a court of law, you get two witnesses, you're going to jail. If you get two people to confess against you and say they were eyewitnesses, more than likely, 99.9% of the time, you're going to jail. He had over 500, it's really 514 eyewitnesses, not people that heard about it. People that saw Jesus, rose from the dead after the crucifixion, they saw him. I'm convinced. My hope is not in anything else. As much as I love New Vision Ministries and I love all y'all, my hope is not in you. My hope is in Him. And your hope better be the same way. Your hope better not be in your job. It better not be in your spouse. It better not be in your kids. It better not be in me. It better be in Him. If everything you're doing don't lead you to the cross of Jesus Christ, then my friend, you're mistaken. Amen? Because it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not Scott Mann and Him crucified or whoever else and Him crucified. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He died for you. He's the one that saved you, delivered you, healed you, set you free. He just uses me to talk to you a little bit. Amen? Hallelujah. Tommy, I want you to come. We're going to do communion here in a minute. But I want to take time to pray. Would you bow your head? I want to ask you a question. Don't nobody say anything. I mean, this is personal. But if you was to examine yourself, do you believe? I mean, like, really believe? Has that head knowledge that you have went to your heart? Would you say yes to whatever the Lord would have you to do? Would you say yes? She gonna come help me preach. Come on, baby. She said yes, didn't you? Give me a knuckle bump. Oh, she left me hanging. Dawn, you want to help us? She'll bring her back. That's all right. She's running. Hallelujah. Come on. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! He said, let the little children come to Him. You think I'm going to say something? Heck no. He ain't slapping me today. I love it. That's just really good, wasn't it? That's awesome. Do you believe? You know, my mom and dad were godly people, and they raised me right. But I can't believe because of what my mom and dad did. I think sometimes we put so much confidence in people in our life that maybe we believe what they believe, but do you know what you believe? He wants you to know what you believe. Amen. Do you know Him? If you don't, you can come to this altar anytime. But I want you to examine your heart. I really want you to examine your heart. You can close your eyes, do whatever. Examine your heart. And if there's some stuff in there, I mean, I believe the Holy Spirit is moving. I know He's moving, but if there's some stuff in there, just tell Him to help you with your unbelief. That's what the man said about his daughter. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He will help you. He understands that. He understood what Thomas was going through. He understood what Mary and Peter and all them went through. He understands what you're going through, but He wants you to be convinced. And the only way you can be convinced is to totally receive Him, accept Him, trust Him for who He is, and then hang on for the ride of your life. If you're in this room this morning, or if you're listening and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the Scripture is very clear what you must do to be saved. You must repent of your sins. Not just be sorry you got caught, but be sorry for what you've done. Repent of your sins and turn your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then Easter is every day for you. It's every day for us that are saved. The resurrection is every day. You know why? Because we died to sin and came alive to Christ every single day. His mercies are new every single day. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. Hallelujah. If you don't know Him, I'm going to get Tommy to sing. Then we're going to do communion right after that. But if you don't know Him, you need to accept Him. And I want to read something before Tommy sings. And I want you to just incorporate this with what I'm asking you to do. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can look it up later. But it's about the communion. And Paul wrote this. He said, I passed on to you what I received from the Lord. On the night that the Lord Jesus was handed over to His enemies, He took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, this is my body. It is given for you. He said, every time you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant of my blood. He said, every time you drink it, do it in memory of me. You'll eat the bread and drink the cup. When you do this, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. He's coming again. But this is what I want you to hear for everybody. He said, eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in the right way. He said, don't do it in a way that isn't worthy of him. If you do, you will be guilty. You'll be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone should take a careful look at themselves. Everyone should take a careful look at themselves before they eat and drink the bread and drink from the cup. Whoever eats and drinks must recognize the body of Christ. If you don't, judgment will come upon them. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and that is why a number of you have died. So as you're evaluating your life, whether you really believe, I want you to evaluate your life is whether you really have repented of your sins and turned to the Lord. Tommy's going to sing. The altars are open. If you need prayer, I pray for you. Hallelujah. Christians, pray. Hallelujah, Lord.
There is no fear. Cause I believe, and there is no doubt. Cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. And I have a hope found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress.
Don't miss this opportunity.
Over and over.
We're not promised tomorrow, guys. Jesus.
Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire, and do what you are famous for.
Hallelujah.
What you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. I believe in you, God, I believe in you. Release your love inside of me. Unleash your power for all to see. Spirit, come and fall on us. Over and over, oh Lord, make way through the waters, walk me through the fire, and do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions, bring dry bones to life, and do what you are famous for. What you are famous for, God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your words unstoppable, all things are possible in you. God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, you never fail. Your name is powerful, and your words unstoppable. All things are possible in you. God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think. Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful. Your words unstoppable. All things are possible in you. Make way through the waters. Walk me through the fire. And do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones to life. And do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. Make way through the waters. Walk me through the fire. And do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones to life. And do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. I believe in you. I believe in you. Oh God, I believe in you. I believe.
Hallelujah.
In you.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, believe. We believe. God, I just pray that as we take this communion, Lord, we are doing this to remember you, Jesus, for what you've done for us, everything that you've done for us. We not only are doing it to remember your death, like you said, but also to remember that you're coming back for us. You're coming back. You're coming back. And I truly believe it's not going to be long. But even if it is, we're still going to believe and we're still going to keep doing what you've called us to do. Hallelujah. If you would, take your communion cups. You can be seated or stand, whichever way you want to take it. Thank you. Not going to be long. We're going to get back to doing communion the other way. But right now, we just chose to do it this way. But Lord, we love you. You know our hearts. Church, if you would, take the bread. As you take this bread, please remember that it was the back that was bruised and ripped for us. The stripes on his back were for our healing. If you're sick in this room or if you're sick and you're listening, pray in Jesus' name that God will heal you. For that one that came to me about the spot on their lung, I'm in agreement with you right now in Jesus' name that as you take this bread and you take this blood, that you're healed in the name of Jesus. I believe that. God, I thank you. And as you take this bread, remember what Jesus has done for you and what he's going to continue to do. Hallelujah. Lord, as we take this cup, this is representative of your blood that you shed for us, not only for salvation, but for our healing. Your blood has never lost its power. It never will lose its power. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so, Lord, we've examined our heart. We've repented of any sin. And, Lord, now we take this because we love you and we honor you. Guys, if you would, just take the cup. Praise you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for seeing something in us that nobody else saw. God, I pray for those that are here and those listening, Lord, that God, that they would believe, that they would trust you and depend on you. Lord, continue to move by your Spirit. Bless your people on this Easter day. Bless them through the week. May they love those that others don't love. Reach others that others deem unreachable. May we equip the saints to do the work of the gospel. May we be found faithful when you come back, because you're coming back. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Love you guys. God bless you here. Big old hug. Love you guys. I'll see you Wednesday night. Don't forget about Wednesday night. I'm sorry them things is nasty. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but hallelujah. We suffering for the Lord. Amen.